Blog Talk Radio.
And most of us associate this song. I was telling my sister the other day, my sister says, sometimes she says, the funeral song. No, there ain't no funeral song. Mm-mm. But we associate it with funerals. Uh-huh. Back in 1966, when my grandfather died, they brought us in on Abide With Me, Fast Falls the Evening Tide. Yeah. Yeah. The darkness deepens, Lord, with me abide. When other helpers fail and comfort flee, help of the helpless. Oh, abide with me. But in 77, when Grandmama passed, as we gathered outside the church, I heard the chorus being sung by Mount Lebanon AME Zion Choir. And we're getting ready to do it. And now I know what it means. I didn't know what it meant then. Stay close, baby. Nothing fancy. Nothing fancy. Nothing fluffy. She played was mean something to you, the music, you know. Can I keep going? What you looking for? Ha! Yeah. one witness out there somewhere. Tell your neighbor, rest.
Radio not just for your ears, but also for your spirit. Jesus in the Morning Radio. And you're with Barbara.
Hallelujah, hallelujah. Oh, yeah. Keep me near the cross. Hallelujah. I want to be kept near it. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Oh, we thank God for another Monday morning. I mean, another Wednesday morning. Hallelujah. The week is almost ending. And we thank God for bringing us up into this present time. We thank him for all he has done, what he's doing right now, and what he's going to do. Great and mighty things for us. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Ah, we thank God for the cross. Yeah, Lord Jesus. He suffered, hung, bled, died, conquered all, rose with all power. We can't ever forget that part. We can't ever forget that part for what he has done for us. Oh, yeah. I know things seem like it's going bad and, you know, you don't have all that you desire maybe or all that you even feel you need. But we got Jesus. And what I tell you, he's more than enough. He is more than enough if we can but trust him. Oh, yeah. Tell him about it. Talk to him. Watch and wait for him. Hallelujah. It's going to be all right today. Matter of fact, it's already all right in Jesus' name. And so we're grateful unto Almighty God this morning. We thank him waking us up, closing our right minds, use and activity of limbs, life, health, and strength today. We speak it. We speak it. You may not be feeling well. Yeah. Some days my knees are a little stiff or whatever the case may be. I got to move them. I got to move them. Hey, to get them back working right. Yeah. But guess what? I'm closing my right mind. I know what's going on. I can pray. Hallelujah. Wait for the answer. Oh, thank you, Jesus. God is good to us this morning. And again and again and again and again, we thank him. We thank him. For without him, we can do absolutely nothing. And you know, this morning I was thinking on these things. When you can't hear from God and you can only hear yourself, another person or some other thing, you know, a live preacher, or a live, you know, a preacher somewhere, or we go to YouTube or wherever we go and we, you know, see different things. On Facebook, we see scriptures being posted and all of this stuff, but we can't hear from God. We can only hear from these kind of things because I promise you God has spoken. But what happened many times is we are in a rush. We can't wait for the answer. We can't wait for him to move. He's taking too long for us. So we have to move quickly. We want to move now because God, I needed you to move at 5 o'clock. It's 5:22 and you haven't moved. Now I got to do it. No, no, we wait on the Lord. Because whatever we're waiting for, the answer of whatever it is, I promise you it's not unto death. You won't die while you're waiting for God to answer. You're waiting for him to work it out. You're waiting for his perfect timing because this is what he has. And sometimes God is speaking and people speak right in when God is speaking. And I'm like, wait a minute, hold up now. Give him a chance. Because we want it quick. We want it fast. We want it the way that we want it. But we must learn to wait on God. Again, it's not unto death. You're not going to die while you're waiting on God. You're not going to die. You're not going nowhere. And whatever the situation is, it won't take you out. It won't kill you either. But what we got to look at is, Lord, what's the lesson that you're trying to teach me through this? And most times it's patience. Most times it's patience. We're waiting for God. And many of us, boy, that's a hard test. I'm raising my right hand because been there, done that. That wait is not an easy thing all the time because you want it. You want it right now. Sometimes in situations and we feel like, oh, I need relief from this right here. I can't take no more. But yes, you can, because if God has not come and fixed it, you can't fix it. All you can do is continue to wait. The scripture says, wait on the Lord. Be of a good courage, and he shall strengthen thine heart. Wait, I say, on the Lord. Yeah, I believe this was David speaking over in Psalms 19:14. Because, see, David understood some things because David had to wait. Saul was after him, and Saul had an army. He was king. And they was after David. The good part about it is David knew who his enemy was. He knew it was Saul that was after him. But David knew without God he could do nothing. David knew he had to wait on the Lord and be of a good courage, and he had to wait for God to strengthen his heart. Yeah. I know that's right. See, both hands up. Not just one hand. Yeah, Lord. Because we want him to move right now. Lord, I'm tired of this. I don't know how much more of this I can take. Lord, I need you to fix this right now. I need you to fix this today. And the Lord just sitting back looking. If you would get up and go occupy yourself, get up and go help somebody. Call somebody and talk about my wonders. Talk about the things I have done for you. Take your mind off this thing here that you're allowing to drive you. Because if we're worrying, it's a sin. It's okay to be concerned, but don't worry. Because we're sinning. And the reason why we're sinning, he showed us we can have faith and trust him. Many days, this is what I think of. Well, if he sent his son Jesus to suffer and die for me, he's just going to let this situation take me out? This situation just going to get worse and worse? No weapon formed against me shall prosper. And if he sent his son to suffer and die for me, he's not going to let this thing overtake me. I just got to look past it. I just got to get past it. I got to put my mind somewhere else. Oh, but you don't understand, Sister Barbara. On that job, God is bigger than the supervisor. He's bigger than the owners of the company. He's bigger than the board of directors. You're making them bigger. But the God we serve is much bigger. Take your mind off it. Put your mind on something that's worthy. Yeah. Put your mind on something that's worthy to have your mind on, because that is not worthy. God have that in control. But many days too, another thing is we want to control stuff. We want to be in control. Now, see, I'm raising both of my hands now because I've been there and tried to do all of that. It did not work for me. And what I found out when I let it go, when I put my mind on whatever is true, and the truth is this, Jesus, I put my mind on whatever is honest, whatever is going to stand, no matter what, it's going to be there. That's the word of God. Whatever is just, is right. It's right that I have patience to wait on God. It's right that I praise him now. It's right that I pray. It's right that I treat people right and do what's right. Whatever's lovely. Hallelujah. I can think on some lovely things. It would be a lovely thing that I woke up and had 40 grand in my account. That would just be lovely. It would be a lovely thing if I was able to take a trip and just sit by the waterfall. It's a lovely thing that I get in the Word and I begin to go back with Apostle Paul and Timothy and Peter and James and all these boys. Lydia, Priscilla, and Aquila. Yeah, I even go way back with Deborah back there. Go back there with Samuel when his mother first come to Eli. Yeah. She was praying, her lips was moving, but he heard no words. He assumed she was drunk. I go back there, and I look at how Rachel and Jacob got together. When they came together, they didn't have no wedding ceremony. They went into the tent and went together with each other and come out married, huh? Whatever is lovely. Whatever will bring a good report. When I take somebody to and from the doctor, I take somebody to and from the grocery store, I take somebody to and from a job interview, I take somebody to and from work, these are good reports. Yeah. Another good report is this. Today the enemy came and I battled with the word and won the battle. When it was over, what I wanted came for. Good report. The report was that I battled with the word. I put on the whole armor of God that I could stand against the wiles of the devil. I stood on the word of God, and after standing, I stood some more. Good report. But we got to learn again to wait on God. We want everything right now. He's not doing it right now. He's doing it in his perfect timing. So we can get over the rush. And how many know after so long, somebody told me this time heals all wounds. The thing is fresh today because it just happened today. And oh, I'm so hurt over it. Oh, I'm so this. Oh, I'm losing my mind. Oh, blah, blah, blah. Just one thing after another. But as time progresses on, we let things go. We begin to let it go. We begin to forget. It's not as often as it was. We don't feel the pain as often as we used to feel it. Time, patience, because that's, we got to have patience because guess what? Again, we can do nothing without him. If he don't fix the situation, he does not change the situation, it's going to remain right there. But he said, no weapon formed against me shall prosper. The weapon formed, but it can't grow no bigger. Now, if I keep looking at the weapon that is formed and, you know, I keep worrying over it and oh, is this? Oh, they're going to say that about me. Oh, I feel this way. Oh, I'm angry. Or not only will it prosper, I mean, not only will it form, but guess what? It'll take over you because you're not doing what it takes to keep the weapon from prospering. You're not keeping the faith, so you got to believe that and keep believing it. Because, see, today is red. Tomorrow it's done got blue, and when it's in the blue, it's going up. The next day, it's in the purple, or it's getting worse. But I go back to the word of God. No weapon formed against me shall prosper. I don't care if it get to the red. I don't care if it get to the gold. I don't care what's the highest color it get to. It can't do nothing. It won't prosper against me. It just formed. And it itself can do what it want to do. Because the God that I serve, the God that so loved me, he sent his only begotten son for me because of his love. And he have great grace and mercy for me. No outcome is going to come out of that. I told you the prophet said that I was going to get the news in the mail. And I did. They put the letter on the door. The papers on the door. And when I tried to get to the door to see what they was putting papers on there for, who are you? They were gone. And when I read the papers, it said, call this number. I called the number, no answer. That Monday, I called the number. I talked to someone. They told me, oh, no, don't worry about that. Just disregard that. That's already been worked out for you. I didn't say, well, who worked it out? I already knew who worked it out. The prophet told me. Hey, glory. And I want to throw this in there. The one reason we can say we Christians, we the saints of God, we the people of God, we believers, we born again. We can say all of this stuff, but what are we doing with it? Because, see, we want God to keep giving, keep moving, keep doing, and the bad, and the this, and it. But what are we doing? What kind of work are you working unto the Lord? What kind of work are you doing, really, for God? How many times you picked up the phone on purpose just to call somebody to encourage them about God? Not people you know, not your family, but straight up strangers. How many times? How many times have you walked up to a stranger and said, God bless you today? Do you know Jesus? How many times have you really witnessed on purpose, not for you, but unto the Lord? Because we want everything he got for us. We just want it. Oh, he going to bless me big. I'm going to be rich one day. I'm going to live in a castle. I'm going to do this and that and the other. But what are we doing for him? That boy James, that's my boy. James said faith and works go together. I prayed about the car. I had to go in and fill the paperwork out to get approved for the car. I believe God was giving it to me, but I had to do some work. And then when I got to the dealership, I witnessed. Yeah, because see, this is what we got. Work unto him. We don't want to work unto him. We just want him to come and just drop everything. Come on, bring it here, Lord. Put it right there, God. I want that over there in the corner, Lord. Lord, look, put that by the door. And Lord, please put that in my bank account. Let that come on. Let the money come on to my bank account. Cash App me, Lord. PayPal me, God. But what are we doing for him? Daily. I said daily. What are we doing? It's okay to believe. But we got to do a little bit more than believing. He said the harvest is plenteous, but the labors are few. We pray that the Lord of the harvest would send more labor. But how about the labor he called or chose us for? What are we doing with? Do we even know? And see, God has sent a word, but we can't hear. We're too busy hearing us. The person speaking what God said, and you sitting up thinking about what you said, what you talking about, what you feel, what you want, what you believe. I was over on that TikTok, and a lady shared about this man killed her daughter. They met and had been together a month, was talking about marriage and children and all kind of stuff. He was an abuser, a perpetrator. And this lady told all of this from day one to day to the last day of where she was right then. It was like part 1, 2, 3, all the way up to, let's say, part 24. Another young lady come and told how her mother knew that the boyfriend was raping her. Ever since she was like around 10 years old, when she got 12, she became pregnant from the rapist, boyfriend rapist, the mama boyfriend who was the rapist. The mama took her to some place for bad kids. Because she didn't want to face the fact that the girl was pregnant. The raping boyfriend. Do y'all hear all of this? I saw two young ladies come with both of their eyes bloodshot red. Bloodshot red. From where the boyfriend beat them up. One said he invited her out on Valentine's Day. She thought she was going, you know, to celebrate Valentine's Day with him. She had his gifts and whatever. And before they got to wherever he told her he was taking her, he beat her down. Do you hear me? It's important today that we witness. It's important today to get that word out there. Now, we know people don't like it. People don't like it. Because they rather obey their flesh than God. But we got to try. We still got to try for them. We got to yet talk of his wondrous works and make known his deeds among the people, whether they believe or want it or not. He said, go in the hedges and highways, preach and teach that gospel. In some cases, we're going to have to compel man to come in. Now, if this young lady had a sister, the one that died. Somebody from some church should have been over there witnessing to her, the mom and her, to strengthen the mom. I talked about cussing. Put that filthy communication out of your mouth. Because folks saying they believers, I'm Christians, I'm saved, I got this, and you still saying dirty words, that's coming out your dirty heart. That's what he said. That's what he said. See, because what it's not what go in you that defile you, but it's what comes out, because that's already in there. So it's a lot of things we want to consider today to get it right with God so that we can be right with him, because he's returning for us. And we don't want him to return and we, wait a minute, let me get my shoes on. No, he wanted to fully dress when he comes. He don't want to have to wait on you to get your shoes. He don't want to have to wait on you. Oh, well, let me get my wedding veil. Well, let me pull my train on my wedding dress. No, everything ought to be spread it out and ready to go. So we preparing over here. This is why we learning to wait on him. We're learning not to hear ourselves and other people talking, but we're learning to have these sensitive spiritual ears so that we ourselves can hear from God. Because God, people will trick you. People will trick you. Oh, yeah. We're going in this morning. Our guest speaker is none other than the Pastor E. Dewey Smith. And he's going to talk about dealing with divine delays. He's going to talk about it today. And he's going to break it down for you. Hallelujah. And it's going to be all right. But I wanted to share that this morning. Because sometimes we get so hyped with the blessings of the Lord, we forget we have work to do. God is just pouring on us, just blessing us and blessing us. And boy, we're so caught up into the blessings, the receiving and all of this, we forget that there is work for us to do. We forget there's a dying world out here. Some of us, it's in our house. It's in our family. It's our own children. When I tell you I have 8 biological children, carried them 9 months, each one, and birthed each one myself. God bless me. Each one of them young'uns, sometimes I say them bad young'uns, was called to ministry. All 8 got saved and called to ministry. Do you hear me? Not a one of them he left out. But once they got grown, they could do what they want to do. They could listen to other people. See, because they tell me the word I bring is a hard word. But if you love God, no matter how hard it is, you want to obey. Okay, Lord, no fornicating before marriage. Marriage, I'm engaged. Okay, we're going to stay away from each other. Back in the day, they used to send an old mother with you, somebody responsible. Had to go out with y'all when you take the girl out for dinner, or y'all went to the movies or whatever you was doing. Y'all went to the park or the lake or on a drive. That was a responsible adult with you to make sure y'all stayed on the right path. He stayed a gentleman and you stayed a lady. The day they move in with each other before the marriage, some of them have the excuse, well, we save money this way. Now, if you want to do it right, God going to provide. So he saved all 8 of mine, but once they got to be adults, they did what they wanted to do, and they're still doing it. And they'll tell you, I'm a preacher. I got this one. When I look at it, I want to cry some days. I really do. Because when you look at your children, it won't represent that you're a preacher. I know they say preacher children are some of the worst children. But let me tell you something, preachers, when it's your child's birthday, you can't have a worldly birthday party and invite the world on. You can't have the street blocked off. And any and everybody can come to your child's birthday party. And one of your children are messed up. One of your children was born with a great handicap. Just looking at the child, everybody can see there's a handicap there. But you're allowing the handicapped child to twerk and everything else in front of all these worldly people. But then you want to get up in the pulpit. You want to talk to them about coming to church. Well, preacher, what you doing over there is different than what I'm doing over here. Because when it's one of my children's birthdays, I have a block party. And we playing circular music. Well, I get mad with my wife. I cheat on her. I mean, you cheat. I mean, what are you doing that I'm not doing? There must be a difference in God, people, and the world. I'm going to put it like this. There must be a difference in God's people, church people, and the world. Because church people join in with what's going on with the world. I've seen them have their children jump into the song and don't even know where the song originated from, don't know why the song was. And we have to even be careful naming our children. Did you know that? We have to be careful. You can name them children out the Bible, and what that person in the Bible went through, your child gonna go through it. Yes, sir, and yes, ma'am. I have a son, I named him Abdullah. Gave him my brother middle name, Abdullah Lamar, because my brother name is Alan Lamar. Named him after Abdullah Rahman. He was a Muslim minister, but before he became a Muslim minister, he was a pimp, a hustler, and he was off the chain. And so was my Abdullah. I named him after this man, Sirius Kane. I had no clue. Young in the world, it sounded good. And one day he told me, not too long ago, matter of fact, he said, hey, look here. He said, that name, you name it after Arabic name, that's not cool, mama. So he just put A-L. Yeah, he started using the name A-L for Abdullah Lamar. Because he said that Arabic name, people was looking at him strange. You're Muslim? You come to bomb the United States? What you here for? Said, that was cool, mama. You see? But I didn't know. Like many of us, a lot of things we don't know. But as we come into God, I call it coming into the knowledge of the truth. We learn things. And even with a situation like that, Lord, cover him. Because he don't know. I didn't know. But Lord, you're able to cover him from my mistake. God is faithful. He's a good God. He understands. See, many, he won't hold mistakes against you, knowing that you didn't know no better. But then sometimes if he know that you knew better, you got to reap what you sowed. If you sowed it to the flesh, you're going to reap it. If you sowed it to the spirit, you're going to reap it to the spirit. After I got saved and everything, I still had them checks out there. I still had to go answer for them checks. Saved, sanctified, Holy Ghost filled, still got to go reap what I sowed. But now when I went to jail to finish up, guess what? I was able to minister. I was able to witness. I wasn't worried. When the timing was right, he set me free in about 3 months, less than 3 months. I was gone. Mm-hmm. And blessed me for the work. So we got to stop listening to ourselves. Open up our spiritual ears and hear what the Spirit of God is saying to us. We're the church. Yeah. In Jesus' name. And it's already all right this morning. And we thank God. Listen, we're going to prayer, one more song. And when we come back after the song, we're coming back to Pastor E. Dewey Smith dealing with divine delays. Hallelujah. Let's pray. Father God, in the name of Jesus, we thank you for your word this morning, Father. Your spoken word, for your word is a lamp unto our feet. It's a light unto our path that we can obey. And we come before you thanking you this morning for all you've done, what you're doing right now, Father, and what you're going to do. We thank you that you will never leave us nor forsake us. Father, it's you that will be with us until the end. You see everything that's going on. You know about every little thing. For your eyes are in every place. Father, you're beholding the evil and the good, and we thank you this morning. You know all about us today. You made us for your pleasure. You know how each of our bodies work, although we're different. You know how each of our minds work. And Father, this morning we come before you on the altar. We bring ourselves today. And Father, we ask that you would help us not to hear us, but to hear what your spirit is saying to us. Because whatever your spirit is saying, even in giving instructions, is so that we can become better. We can have peace, joy, and happiness. And Father, we will please you and do what's acceptable unto you. Help us today, O God. In the name of Jesus, fix our hearts this morning as our cry and regulate our minds today, Lord. We're calling out to you, for we need you, Lord. We're not just here trying to get what you have for us, but Father, we want to obey you. We want to prepare for your coming. We want to be a blessing where you would have us. We want to work unto you while it's day. Do it for us here. We want to be the churches that you're coming back looking for. We want to be one body unto you here. In the name of Jesus, thank you this morning, Father. And we ask today, thank you, Jesus. The Lord, you would bless every caller and every listener. Bless every family member represented here, those that are near and those that are far. Every friend, oh God, near and far, do it for us in the name of Jesus. Father, we come this morning asking that, what more can we do? What can we do, oh God, unto you? Speak to our hearts and minds. Give us clear instructions, Father, that we will obey you at any cost. We don't want to be confused about nothing concerning you. Lord, we want it clear, cut, and dry. Help us that we understand your word. We understand what you're speaking to us individually, God. Our individual walk with you, our individual work unto you. Help us today. Lord, whatever you called and chose each of us for, we need you to make it plain unto us. Simple and easy, God, allow us to know today and teach us how to get up to obey you with the calling of the chosen you have done for us. Help us, Lord, that we would be 100% yours, not by words, but by deeds of action. In the name of Jesus, we thank you. Father, we give you glory. We give you the honor and praise. And Lord, any mother here today that's concerned about their child, they're concerned about their children. Maybe their children won't make it back with you when you come. Father, I ask that you would give her the words and a mouth of encouragement to encourage her children to you. In the name of Jesus, no fussing, no yelling, no screaming. But Lord, simply speak the words of wisdom and let go. Let go and you will do the rest. You're going to take it up. But not only you hear this prayer this morning, but Father, we believe you to answer those that are concerned about their husband or wives, any family member, God, not going back with you when you come. We ask today that you would give them the words in their mouth of encouragement to encourage them to your son, Jesus, because we have to go to him to get to you. Do it today, Father, in the name of Jesus. You wish that none should perish. And Lord, we wish that none of our family members or friends would perish. Do it today in the name of Jesus. We thank you this morning. Father, we come asking that you would heal those that are sick here today. Move by your spirit, God. Send your healing spirit to heal today in the name of Jesus. And Father, we ask this morning that you would bless those that are incarcerated and their families, those that are in every branch of the military and their families, widowers, bereaved families, intercessory prayer people, fatherless children, oh God, motherless and fatherless children today, moved by your spirit, strengthen and bless today. Father, we ask that you would bless intercessory prayer people, God, and their families this morning, preachers, preach it in the name of Jesus and obedience unto you and love for your people, God, and their families this morning. Father, we ask that you would continue to bless Israel. Continue to loose your protecting angels around them, God, to keep them safe from all hurt, harm, or danger. Father, do the same for Jerusalem today. Bless your people, oh God. Move by your spirit today in the name of Jesus. Father, we ask that you will continue to bless our brothers and sisters overseas. You know what they're standing in need of this morning. Father, move by your spirit for them in the name of Jesus. Continue to bless America, Father, and the leadership of America. Father, we ask this morning that you would have mercy. Continue to have mercy. And Lord, let your grace abound. You know the perfect date, Lord. You know what you're doing. And we trust what you're doing. I accept what you allow in the name of Jesus. And Father, concerning this vaccine, if it's not harmful to your people, speak to their hearts and minds. But God, if it's harmful in any way, stop them, God, in the name of Jesus. Lord, I don't want it. I don't want to take it. I ask that you would keep me covered in the name of Jesus. All those that don't want to take it, God, keep us covered. You made us for your pleasure. You know all about us. You brought us to this present time that nothing has happened to us. As long as we remain being safe, as long as we remain washing our hands and doing what we're supposed to do, keeping things clean. Help us today, God. In the name of Jesus, we thank you this morning for hearing. We thank you for answering. We thank you for being our God. Lord, we thank you for faith and trust in you. Oh, we thank you that you cut the middleman out and we can come straight to you. We don't have to go to the priest. We don't have to go to the church. We don't have to go to the preacher. We can call on you anytime, anywhere, in any place. And you're right there because you never left us. You won't forsake us. You will be with us until the end. We thank you this morning. We give you glory. Hallelujah. We give you honor and we praise you today in spirit and in truth. And Father, we bow down and worship to you. For there's none like you today, your almighty God who have all power. Father, there's no higher power. We thank you this morning. We thank you. Hallelujah. We thank you, His Majesty. We thank you, Master. Ah, we thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. We thank you this morning. Hey, glory. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah for hearing us. Thank you, for asking us. Hey, who is man that you're even mindful of us? Father, even our righteousness is as filthy rags before you. And we thank you this morning. Thank you for looking beyond our fault, yet meeting our needs. Hallelujah. Thank you for yet being for us. Thank you, Lord, that we can cast our cares upon you, for you careth for us. Oh, we thank you this morning. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Bless this segment of Jesus in the morning. Father, have your way here. Feed us until we want no more. Move by your spirit. Bless Pastor Dewey Smith and his family and his church family this morning. The flock that you made him the shepherd over. God, move by your spirit in the name of Jesus. We ask it all. Amen and hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Woo! I've got a feeling everything's going to be all right. Hey, I've got a feeling everything is going to be all right. Oh, yeah. Be all right. Be all right. Be all right. Yes, it is. Yes, it is. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Thank you. Father, we thank you. There's none like you.
God has smiled on me. He has set me free. Oh, God smiled on me. He's been good to me.
God has
got down on my knees as I began to pray, hoping that the Lord heard what I had to say. I said, I started begging, I said, pleading, and I got on my knees. Christ, I'd never left your side. I've been right here all alone, so you can dry your eyes. You seeking me like I knew you would, praising me like you know you could. That's when I realized that He's so good. My God is good. He's been good to me.
Just a radio. This is Jesus in the Morning Radio, spreading the good news of Jesus. More than
the Gospel of St. John. I want to get right into this word tonight. The Gospel of St. John in the 11th chapter of John's Gospel. St. John chapter 11. And for the benefit of brevity and the sake of our subject, I want to take a look at two verses just to establish our subject. The book of St. John, chapter 11, verse number 5 and verse number 6. When you have St. John 11, 5 and 6, just shout amen. And it reads thusly, "Now Jesus loved Martha and her sister and Lazarus. When he, Jesus, had heard that he, Lazarus, was sick, he, Jesus, abode 2 days still in the same place where he was." Verse 6 is our key verse. When Jesus heard that Lazarus was sick, Jesus stayed in the same place where he was. I want to ask a question tonight, a question that many of us as leaders and laity have pondered privately and even raised publicly. The question tonight is very simple. What makes God delay dealing with divine delays? It was a systematic theologian, Charles Ryrie, who suggested that children of God are often caught in betwixt and between what he calls a dichotomy of divinity. This dichotomy is challenging for many of us, because God is presented in this dichotomous motif from two perspectives.
Mm-hmm.
God is like a two-sided coin in Ryrie's estimation. On one side of that coin is what Charles Ryrie calls the incomprehensibility of God. And rather, on the other side of that coin is what he calls the knowability of God. The incomprehensibility of God is very challenging because it deals with those times when it seems that God may intentionally withhold clarity, direction, illumination, and revelation from us. And though we try very hard, it's an arduous task of often trying to understand what it is that God is doing in our lives, because God is often incomprehensible. It challenge with that is then that other times God will reveal God's self in specific and reliable ways. And when God does that, that makes God appear to be a knowable God. Take the yoke of Christ upon us and we learn. Paul says, oh, that I may know him. And so often we're caught in between incomprehensibility and knowability, and it leads us to form various perspectives. There are some things about God that are incomprehensible. I don't care how many times you've read Scripture, how many theological and philosophical presuppositions you've posited, there are some things about God that are incomprehensible. One writer put it this way, his ways are not our ways, and God's thoughts are not our thoughts, often incomprehensible. Another writer, using poetry or prose, said that 1,000 years in our sight are but as a day in the eyesight of God, incomprehensible. And then Moses in the Pentateuch recorded that there are some secret things that belong only to God. So it matters not how big the Bible is you tote or how many scriptures you quote. You can have oil from the top of your head to your toe jam. But there are some things about God that we will never fully understand in this life. And our old ancestors, their theological genius, understood that. And so they just would sing, some things we'll have to understand better by and by. And when we deal with those incomprehensibilities, it is at those specific times when we can have serious crises of faith as leaders and as laity, when we serve a God that it seems we've preached about God and served God and told others about God and we've shared with others what God can do. And that has been a part of our preachment. But what happens when we're led to go from the theoretical to the experiential? What happens when what we've thought about God and told others about God and preached to others about God, now we begin to wonder in our own consciousness and theological formations, was it really true what I told others about God? When we find ourselves there, my beloved, God allows us to engage God in conversations which may be inquisitive in manner when you're having a crisis of faith. When you're wondering about God and don't understand what God is doing, God, I believe, will allow us to go to God and say, listen, God, can you give me some clarity because I really don't know what's happening in my life. Now, my grandmother was here. She had problems with that because she told me that we should never question God. But I see that God lays the conversation and lays out the paradigm because the challenge is, my family, is that many people think that we should not go to God in an inquisitive language simply because they often see God as a powerful force and not as a personal father. They're looking at God through the lenses of religion and not relationship. When you find yourself dealing with an incomprehensibility and you don't know what God is doing, look at how God relates to us. Over and over in Scripture do we see how God and God's divinity comes to humanity and poses a question. There was God out there in that tent one day, raised the question of Abram and Sarai. God asked them in God's divinity, is there anything too hard for God? That was the divinity of God questioning the humanity of Abram and Sarai. God can question us. That day when Jesus saw his disciples, many of them desert him, in St. John chapter 6, after feeding the 5,000, Jesus returned and looked at those remaining disciples, and the divinity of Jesus questioned the humanity of those disciples who didn't leave. Jesus asked them, will you also go away and leave me? That was the divinity of Jesus questioning the humanity of those disciples who did not desert him. And what about even in the book of Ezekiel, chapter 37? God took Ezekiel into a valley of bones. Bones which had been bleached dry by the unsympathetic Babylonian sun. And that day, the divinity of Jehovah questioned the humanity of Ezekiel. God asked Ezekiel, son of man, can these bones live? That was the divinity of God questioning the humanity of Ezekiel. And conversely, in Scripture, you will see where human beings question the divinity of God. In John chapter 6, when Jesus asked them, will ye also go away and leave? It was Simon Peter who responded. And when Simon Peter responded, he responded not with an exclamation, not with a proclamation, but he responded with interrogation. He says, to whom shall we go? Thou hast the words of eternal life. That was Simon Peter questioning the divinity of Jesus Christ. And what about even in Mark chapter 4? When Jesus told the boys to get into a boat and get on the Sea of Gadara. And when they got into the boat, the weather was tranquil and serene. But in the middle of the deep, the lightning started to write its mysterious language across the bosom of the deep. And Jesus was in the hinder part of the ship, asleep on a pillow. And the disciples awake him and said unto him, Master, carest thou not that we perish? Jesus did not throw them overboard, but rather got up, wiped the sleep out of his eyes, the old preacher was said, and said, peace be still. But that was the result of the disciples in their humanity questioning the divinity of Jesus Christ. And what about even in Mark chapter 15? When Jesus, our Lord, walked up the Via Dolorosa to a hill called the Skull, and there, while dying on that cross, Jesus said in the Aramaic of his day, Eli, Eli, lama sabachthani, which is interpreted, my God, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? Quoting from Psalm 22, Jesus, while on the cross in his humanity, questioned the divinity of God the Father. But yet we say questioning God is a sin. Well, if questioning God is a sin in our humanity, then that means that Jesus on the cross would have been a sinner when Jesus questioned God. And although he became sin, he himself knew no sin. The writer of Hebrews says in all points, he was tempted like we are, yet he was without sin. Family, it's okay for us when we're dealing with Christ's ease of faith to go to God and say, God, I don't understand what you're doing. We've made people not look at the Bible. The book of Psalms is filled with questions of humanity crying out to an holy God for answers. When you feel like you can't question God, remember the words of Immanuel Kant, who suggested it's all right for a believer to question the nature of God as long as we don't question the existence of God. It's all right to question why God allows things to happen and why he does certain things. And family, this has given me liberty, such liberty this year. When the end of 2015, I had to bury my godmother. A week after burying my godmother, I had to bury, and my own mother died. 3 days later, after my mother died, a best friend of 27 years died. 3 weeks after my mother died, my sister died. The week after my sister's funeral, my 41-year-old brother had a stroke. All within the framework of 5 weeks. I find myself not feeling like praising God. I find myself having a crisis of faith, trying to figure out why wouldn't God give me some time in between the deaths, to process the deaths. Why does God allow certain things to happen? And God, why is it when I prayed to you to show up and to bring some type of healing based upon my own human desires, why did it seem that you were delayed in responding? Family, I've had to ask God some serious questions, and not because I was crazy, but these questions kept me from going crazy. Many of us that have had a theological time of captivity and bondage because we've made people feel that you can't share with God exactly what you feel. And when I read this passage tonight, I had to again ask God some serious questions. I had to set it up like this because I didn't want you to accuse me of heresy, blasphemy, unorthodoxy when I got to the premise tonight, because I'm bothered tonight because here Jesus is. And verse 5 tells us of St. John 11 that he loved Martha, he loved Mary, he loves Lazarus. And he gets the news while he's 27 miles away, perhaps in a place called Perea, that his friend Lazarus is sick. And the Bible says that Jesus, who's presented as the divine one in the Johannine account of the gospel, remains where he is for several days. That's theologically problematic for me. I can't seem to grab my mind theologically around why Jesus delays in St. John 11. It bothered me because verse 5 says he loved them. So if you love them in verse 5, why are you delaying in verse 6? What made matters worse for me was when I looked at chapter 2 of this same book. He's invited to a wedding in Cana of Galilee. His disciples and his mother is there. His mother runs up to him and says, "Son, they have no wine." He says, "Woman, what have I to do with you? Mine hour has not yet come." His mother says to the remaining servants, "Whatever he says, just do it." He says, "Bring me the water pots and fill the water pots up with water." And as they were pouring in water, in between the pouring in of water and the pouring out of water, Jesus turned water into Hennessy. Water into wine. At the wedding of a couple... Somebody help me. Y'all forget, I had a flashback. At the wedding of a couple who are so insignificant that John doesn't even bother to record their names. I'm bothered by this because it never says he loves the couple, but to keep them from being embarrassed, he performs his first miracle in chapter 2 for an anonymous couple. But in St. John chapter 11, he's delayed in responding to somebody he says he loves. St. John 3, I'm bothered because a man came to him named Nicodemus, the ruler of the Jews, the Pharisees. He said, "Rabbi, I know you're a teacher come from God. Nobody can do these miracles that you're doing except God be with them." He said, "Nicodemus, listen, you must be born again." Nick says, "Well, how can a man be born when he's old? Can he enter the second time into his mother's womb to be born?" He says, "You must be born again." And then he took the time to preach the greatest message. Not to a nice crowd like this, but the greatest message that's ever been preached was preached to an audience of one. But Jesus tells this coward who's afraid to be associated with him in the daytime, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever believes on him should not perish but have everlasting life." Why is it that in chapter 3 he will spend time with somebody who didn't even want to be associated with him in the day? And takes time to preach the greatest gospel message, but in St. John 11, the person that he says he loves, he's delaying. St. John 4 gets worse. He's going to a place called Samaria. Stops in a village called Sychar. There's a well there that became the stool of a stumbling Savior. A woman comes to him who's been married 5 times. Jesus said, "Hey, go call your husband. Do you want something to drink?" She said, "How are you being a Jew? Ask me a Samaritan for a drink." He said, "Lady, if you knew who it was, who was asking you for a drink, you wouldn't ask me for a drink. You wouldn't let me ask you for a drink. You'd be asking me for a drink. Go call your husband." She said, "I don't have one. I've had 5. He said, "No, you're right. You haven't had one. You've had 5. And you're living with one now that's not yours. That makes 6. But that's why I had to stop by this well so you can meet me, the 7th man." And 7 represents perfection, completion. 7 says it's over. And I stopped by this well to let you know your emotional struggles are over. And when she heard Jesus, she dropped her water pots, went back into the city, said, "Come see a man which told me all things that ever I did is not this to Christ." In St. John 4, he deals with a woman of a different ethnicity. But in St. John 11, the person that he says he loves, St. John 5, he stops at a pool called Bethesda. That was a superstitious milieu borrowed from some Canaanite cosmogony, which suggested that annually an angel would come and trouble the pool. There was a bunch of weak, impotent, halt, blind folk waiting for this annual movement of this water. A man's been laying there for 38 years. Jesus said, "Do you want to be made whole?" Evidently, he was like some of your cousins and mine, because instead of answering the question, he said, "Yo, I had nobody. I have no man to put me into the pool. My daddy was not home. My mama ran around with rolling stones. I didn't ask you that. Do you want to be made whole? Take up your bed and start walking." And that man took up his bed and started leaping. In St. John 5, he spends time with a crippled, anonymous man and brings him immediate healing. But in St. John 11, the person he says he loves, you know he's sick and you are delayed. St. John 6. He's feeding his church for safe harbor. He has 5,000 men, not counting the women and the children. They had 200 penny worth in the treasury. Didn't have enough money. He didn't have a black car to cater a banquet. They found a little last lunch of 2 sardines and 5 red lobster biscuits. He multiplied it and fed the whole crowd. But as soon as the crowd ate, most of them went home and followed him no more. In St. John 6, he feeds a greedy, ungrateful crowd that went home, performed the miracle for people who deserted him. But St. John 11, the one who's ministered to him, the one he says he loves. He St. John 8. They bring him a woman who's caught in the act of adultery. They picked up stones from the eldest to the youngest. It's always amazing to me because even then there was a sense of a sick heteropatriarchal normative which suggested that they are caught in adultery. But I always wondered, why is the woman brought? And she's caught in adultery. That meant she's not by herself. They bring her, and now they're pointing the bony thing of scrutiny and accusation, getting ready to stone her. But guess what? We haven't left patriarchy too much. We do the same thing now. You know how it is back in the day when the girl in the choir gets pregnant and we put her out the choir, but the dude on the drums who got her pregnant, he plays next Sunday. Not much has changed. He picks up. They pick up stones, getting ready to stone her to death. Jesus takes his finger, writes on the ground, looks up to he who's without sin, let him cast the first stone. They went home from the oldest to the youngest. He looked at the woman and said, hey, go and sin no more. In St. John 8, he provides deliverance to a woman caught in the very act of adultery immediately. But St. John 11, the one he says, y'all not helping me preach, of you. He, St. John 9, he's walking through the streets of Jericho with his disciples. They see a man who was born blind. The disciples ask him, Master, who messed up? Either his mom or his daddy, that he was born blind. He said, neither. He's born this way, that the works of God be manifest in his life. Jesus spits on the ground, makes cloud of the spittle, anoints the man's eyes, and this man receives sight immediately. So in St. John 9, an anonymous man at the initial portion of the chapter gets sight. But in St. John 11, the only one where we have a record that Jesus has spent time in his home previously. The only one that you'll see out of any of the aforementioned chapters where it says he loved them specifically. So Jesus, I got a theological quandary. Because if you love Lazarus, then seemingly to me, Lazarus should have received some immediate attention from you. Come on, help me somebody. He's ministered to you. He's ministered for you. His name, and I'm allowed to commit one who's comforted, one who's loved, one who's helped by God. Jesus, why does it seem that you diss the one who has a relationship with you? And all these other people, men of whom can't even stand you, won't become your servants, they get the blessing and Lazarus gets your delay.
Come on.
Have you ever wondered why it seems sometimes in corporate America, the people who are not connected with the church, they don't tithe, they're not faithful, but they're climbing the corporate ladder expeditiously, but here you are faithful in your tithes, and yet you show up early on Mondays and Fridays before and after holidays. You always show up on time to do a decent day's work for a decent day's wage, but why are you getting bypassed? And sometimes it seems that the people who don't even love you, God, get the blessing. Why is it that my mother died 66 years young? Why did you take her and right catacorner to her house? Is an 82-year-old lady, never had any health problems. She sells liquor. She still smokes weed, lives by herself, not even on a cane. God, it makes no sense to me.
Come on.
I wish somebody helped me talk here. It's called a question and an issue of theodicy. Have you ever wondered why does it seem that sometimes bad things happen to good people? And why does it seem that sometimes, y'all not helping me here, good things happen to bad people? Why is it, Jesus, that it seemed that the people who are calling you? Okay, you don't want to be real. See, some of y'all can't have this kind of theology because you don't want to be transparent. I didn't come to play any games. There's a single lady here. You wondered this. And you said to yourself, I'm tired of being the bridesmaid. I got 8 bridesmaid dresses in my closet. And the last wedding you were in last summer, you had an attitude coming down the aisle, holding your flowers. You were talking under your breath, trying to smile. Oh, God, I'm pretty she is. Oh, God, she was fierce in high school. How does she get chosen? I'm not going to be a bridesmaid again. Why did it seem so? I wish somebody would talk to me here. Have you ever wondered why did it seem? How in the world, out of every Republican in America, that a dude who wears a lace front is the leading Republican nominee for president who's never run for office, but yet you got some other well-meaning people. Y'all not going to help me here. You're not going to help me here. We're calling you to answer our prayers. But it seems like you are deliberately, intentionally delaying. And I'm not jealous of anybody else. I appreciate what you did in chapter 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 8, 9. I appreciate their blessings. I celebrate, I shout with them. But I've been singing, I'm next in line for a miracle. And I shouted with them, but my line, my waiting hasn't brought in divine intervention. Oh, God, this is where this scene of this text unfolds. When Jesus finally makes up in his mind to leave Perea to get to Bethany, this inconsequential village on the eastern slopes of the Mount of Olives, about 1.72 miles away from Jerusalem. When he finally makes it near Bethany, Martha, the sister of Lazarus, runs him and says, Lord, if you had been here, my brother would not have died. But I know even now, whatever I ask you, you'll give it. He says, Martha, listen, your brother shall rise again. And she gets theological on him. She says, well, I know eschatologically speaking, he's going to get up at the last trump. He says, you know why? And that's why I had to delay. Because sometimes I have to deliberately delay in your lives. For those of you who love me, I have to deliberately delay, but it's for your development, not for your destruction.
Ooh.
And I don't know if that's a pastor I'm talking to. You're wondering, why did you work so hard? I'm bivocational. I'm trying to exegete the passage and have ministry and have my heart perfectly postured toward God. But it seems that the church down the street is growing with bad theology, with a pastor who's more of a pimp than a preacher and a pulpiteer. And it makes me wonder, God, why is it that others are being blessed? When is our building program coming? When am I going to experience some growth? When is my time going to come to serve you and to get an opportunity to be one of your disciples? He says, sometimes I got to delay in your life. Number one, he says, I want to delay. I have to deliberately delay in the lives of the people who I love, whom I love. Number one, because I want to see who's going to doubt. I want to see who's going to doubt. What do you mean, who's going to doubt? He gets there, Martha, if you had been here, my brother would not have died. Your brother shall rise again. I know he's going to get up at the last trump when Gabriel blows the trumpet. I know he's going to get up eschatologically at the end, at a general resurrection. He says, Martha, you know what? I've been in your home many times, but this is proof. Evidently, you really don't know who I am. So let me just give you a piece of my resume and my dossier. I am the resurrection. I am the life. He that believeth in me, though he were dead, yet shall he live again. See, Martha is in a quandary with Jesus because Martha has seen him deal with death on two previous occasions. On one occasion, a little girl was in a loft and she died, and Jesus went up into the loft and brought her back to life at the point of her death. But the people were saying that girl was just severely asthmatic and there was nobody there to validate her death. She really was not dead. On another occasion, he was walking through the streets of Nain and saw a widow carrying her son to the burial. Jesus stopped the funeral procession, touched the beard, the casket, the boy got up and went home with his mama. But they said, you know, he really was not. He must have been in a deep comatose condition, because in the first century world, Jewish theology taught that once somebody died, the spirit of the deceased would hover in the atmosphere for 3 hours or 3 days, and within those 3 days, that spirit could reconnect to a corpse and that corpse could live. So Jesus, I tell you what, Martha, since you believe that the little girl's resurrection was in vain, and since you as a Jew believe that a spirit can reconnect to a corpse within 72 hours, this time what I'm going to do, I'm going to show up once your brother has been in the grave 4 days. You're not helping me here. I'm going to make sure he's been properly embalmed. I'm going to make sure your superstitious thoughts about the spirit reconnecting to the corpse in 72 hours, I'm going to make sure that's expired. He's going to be in the grave 4 days. So when I bring him back to life,
Can't nobody take the credit for this but my God. Is there anybody in this house can testify? I've gone through some things in my life and the numbers didn't say what's going to happen. People counting me out, but I got good news for you. No matter what it looks like, don't you ever doubt God. You could have already, you could have, my God, you could sign those divorce papers. Rigor mortis could be in on your finances, but don't you count God out. Let me tell you, God still does not need a heartbeat to perform a miracle. God can perform a miracle. Is there anybody can touch your neighbor and say, neighbor, you can't make me doubt him because I know too much about him. Don't you ever doubt God. So do you trust him in spite of what it looks like?
Come on.
Martha, you're trying to suggest that his death is exceeded my power. So let me deliberately delay to expand the parameters of your own consciousness so you can start having my imagination. Who's doubting in here? Saying you trust the God at all times, but it's only lip service. Do you have to have physical proof to believe that God still has the power? I struggle to preach this word tonight because the enemy said, this is the long, you shouldn't be preaching this. Not this word. How do you qualify to preach this? Well, what you just gone through, you still going to preach he's able? I heard the enemy tell me, don't you preach that sermon. Pray for your godmother, she died. Pray for your mama, she died. Pray for your friend, he died. Pray for your sister, she dies. And a week later, your brother has a stroke and still can't see. And you going to preach about no doubt? Devil, you made the worst mistake of letting me make it through January. Because now, even though I was hurt because God didn't answer my prayer the way I wanted God to answer my prayer, it's not because he didn't have the power to do it. You got to get an if not testimony. If you don't make a way, I still believe.
That's
ooh, it. You got the power. Shake somebody's hands and he's got the power. If you have faith, he's got the power. And if you ain't got the faith, he's still got the power. Listen. Glory. Take your seat. Somebody said, I believe God. He says, y'all take your seat for a moment. He says, I have to. I have to deliberately delay. Because I want to see who's going to doubt. But sometimes he says, I have to deliberately delay in the lives of the people that I love. Not just to see who's going to doubt, but secondly, I want to see who's going to pout.
Mm-hmm.
Nothing deep tonight, real direct. What do you mean, who's going to pout? Well, verse 20 tells us when he gets there that Martha runs out to meet him. Verse 20 and 21, it says, but Mary sat still in the house. This is interesting because the last time he was in their home, according to Luke chapter 10, the scene was different. The last time he was in their home, there was an issue because Martha was in the kitchen preparing dinner, but Mary was in his face in worship. It was such a quandary that Martha wanted Jesus to rebuke Mary. Because Mary in Luke 10 was a worshiper while Martha was a worker. But notice one book later. Now the script has been flipped. For Mary, who was in his face in worship in chapter 10, this time stays in the house. And Martha, who was in the kitchen, is the one who's in his presence. Come on, lend me the theaters of your cerebral cortex and listen to this imaginary conversation between these sisters. The servant says, Jesus is coming. Martha puts on a sandal, straps them on to go and see Jesus, but Mary doesn't move on the couch. Martha perhaps says to Mary, Mary, do I detect an attitude? Mary, come and see Jesus. And Mary lets it out. You go and you see him, but I don't have anything to say to him. And Martha says, well, why are you upset, Mary? And Mary says, well, the last time he was in our house, I gave up my remote control to the TV. I gave up my seated posturpedic mattress. I slept on the sofa so he could be comfortable. And we sent word our brother was sick, and he has not responded. My God, as many times as we, Martha, have cooked for him. Now, she ain't cooked nothing. But as many times as we have cooked for him, and he heard about our brother, he said he loved us. Our brother was in the hospital. He didn't send a flower. He didn't send a fruit basket. He didn't send a card, a condolence. He didn't send a tweet, a carrier pigeon, Morse code, message in a bottle, email. You're not sending it in MySpace, tweet, Instagram. Graham, Facebook, he sent not a message. Our brother died. He didn't come by the house. He didn't bring in a Kentucky Fried Chicken or Coca-Cola by the house for us to eat before the funeral. Didn't ride to the funeral with us in a limousine. Didn't go to the cemetery. Didn't send a resolution. And now he's got the nerve to show his face right here. And our brother has been in the grave 4 days. Now, Martha, you go talk to him. But as soon as I see Jesus, y'all know how something, as soon as I see Jesus, I'm going to give him a piece of my mind. Come here. Mary is like a lot of us. When we're in Luke chapter 10, it's easy to shout when you got money in the bank.
Come on here.
It's easy to shout when you and your bae or your boo are on one accord, singing Luther Vandross, If Only for One Night. But what happens when your song moves from If Only for One Night to B.B. King, the thrill is gone? What happens
right.
when your portfolio looks like a sick man's EKG? Will you still praise him when he does not show up the way? Will you stay in the house? He says, I got to deliver delay to bring some integrity to your testimony. I said, what do you mean, Jesus? I'm tired of y'all lying. I said, lying how? He said, you. I said, how am I lying? Every Sunday, I bless the Lord at all times, and his praise shall continually be in my mouth. Praise is what I do, even when I'm going through. I vow to praise him in the good, in the bad, when I'm happy, when I'm sad. Okay. Let me allow the divorce to see where you testifying or test the line. Let me allow the termination on your job to see whether were you loving me because I was a cosmic bellhop, a cosmic Santa Claus. Is it about what I can give you or is it about who I am to you? And let me say something to you. You know you've gotten to a place of development and maturity when all hell can be breaking loose in your life, but you lift your hand and declare, I'm going to worship you. Because praise may be predicated upon what you do, but worship is based on who you are. And my condition does not change your position. You know who God is to me now? God is to me in April, the same God he was to me in January. When my mama died, he was God. When my mama's buried, he's still God. Shake your neighbor's hand and say, I got to praise him. I got to give him glory. And that's the problem with some of y'all. The cat got your tongue. But learn how to open up your mouth in the midst of what you're going through and give God Look at your neighbor. Say, neighbor, you don't know what I'm going through. You don't know my story. All the things that I've been through. You can't feel my pain. What I have to go through to get here. You'll never understand my praise. But don't try to figure it out because my worship. I said my worship. It is for real.
Yes, sir.
Somebody declare, if you answer me, I'll worship you. If you delay, I'll still give you the glory.
Hallelujah.
Sometimes, even though you serve him, and you're waiting for him to show up, no response. Well, everybody else is getting theirs, but he's doing it deliberately to see who's going to doubt, to see who's going to pout. I'm almost finished, but number three, he will deliberately delay to see who's coming out. He says, girls, show me where you're leading. They said, Jesus, his body has already begun to decay. See, I didn't ask you that. Show me where you're leading. They took Jesus out to the tomb of Lazarus, and he prayed, Father, I thank you that you always hear me when I pray. And then he said, Jesus wept. And then after praying and after weeping, he said three words, Lazarus, come forth.
Come forth.
And when he spoke those words, his voice evicted the aroma of Lazarus' decomposing composition.
Mm.
Lazarus, come forth. His voice reinvigorated Lazarus' anatomical frame. Lazarus, come forth. His same voice stagnated and eliminated the process of rigor mortis. Lazarus, come forth. His voice went down the corridors of time and eternity and recaptured a soul on its way to the bosom of Abraham.
Mm-hmm.
And Lazarus came forth, and then Jesus said, now loose him. Y'all got the brakes on me tonight. Come on, put the brake down. Loose him and let him go. However, before Lazarus could walk in Lazarus' deliverance, there was a challenge. Because before Lazarus could come out from the tomb, a stone had been affixed on the tomb. And here's the quandary. The tomb represents Lazarus' history. Coming out of the tomb represented his destiny. But before he could come out of history into destiny, there was an obstacle. It was the stone. So Jesus said, this is going to bring credence to John Calvin's juxtaposition of divine sovereignty versus human responsibility. Here it is, divine sovereignty. Lazarus, come forth. Human responsibility, remove the stone.
Mm-hmm.
I'll speak the word, divine sovereignty. But you got to move the stone, human responsibility. See, the problem in the 21st century is we've made deliverance and divine intervention a matter of divine sovereignty alone. Almost every miracle in the Bible was not just about divine sovereignty. It also involved human responsibility. Y'all making me work. Moses, stretch out your rod. Divine human responsibility. I'll part the Yam Suf of the Red Sea. Divine sovereignty. Joshua, I'll speak to the walls of Jericho. Divine sovereignty. But you got to march around them. Human responsibility. Woman with the issue of blood, I got medicine in the hem of my garment to heal your hemorrhage. Divine sovereignty. But you got to reach out. Y'all making me work. And just, see, too often we wait on God to do everything. Maybe there's a brother around here wanting God to reconcile your marriage. God said, I got the power to do it. Divine sovereignty. But human responsibility. You can't watch Kyrie Irving and LeBron on Monday. Steph Curry on Tuesday. Y'all got the brakes on, man. Kevin Durant on Wednesday. Watch golf on Thursday. Hang with your frat brothers on Friday. And play golf all day Saturday. And come home at 3 o'clock in the morning and expect the candy store to be open when you get there. Y'all making me work. Now you got to carry your behind home and help her wash the dishes and help her take care of some. Y'all not saying anything. You got to be responsible for some stuff yourself.
I know it's equal partnership, lady, and you're right, it is equal partnership. It's mutual submission. But help a brother out. Don't let him work 40, 50 hours a week with beautiful women all week, Monday through Friday, and come home to you Friday evening. After being in traffic for an hour and 30 minutes, and you answer the door, rag around your head, noxema around your face, and flannel pajamas and oil on your house shoes with mix-match socks. Help a brother out every night. Go to Victoria's Secret and get some see-through. Help a brother out. Human responsibility.
Oh, my goodness. Please do it.
Are y'all going to help me preach here? Some things God will do, but some things I got to do. Pastors, God will grow the church, but you got to teach and be involved in evangelism. What is your stone that's got you hemmed in and is preventing you from coming out? Who is your stone that's got you stuck in history and allergic to destiny? Until you remove the stone, you and I will never come out. So maybe I've got to deliberate delay to give you time to be a participant in the process. Let me go. Let me. Y'all don't like this sermon. God, why you gave me this one tonight? And he says, I've got to deliberately delay. And I love you. I want to see who's going to doubt, who's going to pout, who's coming out before and finally. He says, I will deliberately delay in the lives of people that I love intentionally. Not just see who's going to doubt, pout, and come out, but I want to see, fourthly, who can really shout. I'm finished. He resurrects Lazarus from the grave, and that was a plot by the religious of Jerusalem to crucify Jesus. They wanted to kill Lazarus too. Jesus fled Bethany and went 15 miles north to a place called Ephraim or Ephraim, returns to St. John 12, 6 days before Passover. It's believed in the home of someone by the name of Simon the leper. St. John 12, a dinner has been prepared in honor of Jesus. Mary is there. Martha is there. Simon is there. Jesus is there. Lazarus is there. And here in the home of Simon the leper, does a penitent Mary prostrate herself before an omnipotent Savior and makes an existential decision to let her hair down and washes the feet of Jesus with what the historian Flavius Josephus in his Antiquities calls a year's worth of Palestinian income.
Mm.
She pours a year's worth of a substance called spikenard, imported from the Orient or the motherland in alabaster boxes. It was only to be opened on special occasions. She pours what equated to a year's worth of income on the feet of the Kyrios Christos. And then she does the unimaginable.
Mm-hmm.
She breaks proper Palestinian protocol. Paul tells us in 1 Corinthians that a woman's hair in the first century represented her glory. Only the loose women, the prostitutes out in the streets will wear their hair down. But Mary breaks the protocol, lets her hair down, and then washes the feet of Jesus in an act of worship. I say, Mary, Paul says in 1 Corinthians that your hair represents your glory. Why would you number yourself as a prostitute? She said, shut up, Dewey Smith. I said, why are you telling me to shut up, Mary? Your hair is your glory. It's the first century. She said, you don't get it. I said, what don't I get? She said, son, when I'm in the presence of Jesus, excuse my vernacular, but I ain't got no glory. So I take my glory and put it at the feet of the one who is due all glory.
All glory.
Woo. Y'all forgive. I felt the Holy Ghost. I'm putting it at him. I said, well, why are you doing it? She said, it's an act of worship. Worship? Why are you worshiping? It's my shout.
Mm-hmm.
Why are you shouting? She said, well, I'm shouting, number one, because of what he's already done.
Mm.
I said, I don't get it. She said, well, do it. I'm in chapter 12 now. But in chapter 11, we told him my brother was sick. He didn't get there until my brother was in the grave 4 days. And I didn't want to see him initially because I had an attitude. But in spite of myself, he brought my brother back from the dead. And I didn't get a chance to tell him much obliged. So I said to myself, whenever I see him again, I don't care if I'm in the White House, in the Morehouse, in Simon's house, or in the outhouse, that even if I'm in chapter 12, when I look back to see what he's done for me in chapter 11, I'm going to act a fool and worship in chapter 12 because of what he's done for me in chapter 11. Is there anybody around this house? You're in chapter 12, but can you look back over the past chapter of your life and see some stuff God did for you yesterday? Will you all be open your mouth and giving God praise right now for stuff that he's already done? I got to close. So look at neighbor and say, neighbor, if he never does anything else, I can shout in chapter 12 for the rest of my life because of what he's already done. Somebody shout. But that's one more reason why I'm shouting. I said, why? She says, not just because of what he's already done, but also because of what he's getting ready to do. I said, I don't understand. She said, because that was an exegetical tidbit that you omitted. But it can help you homiletically here. I said, what's that? She said, well, I anointed him with something called spikenard, which was not just perfume. It was used as an embalming fluid. The Caesars of Rome and the Greco-Roman aristocracy would all be embalmed with this substance called spikenard. I said, I don't get it, Mary. So why would you put dead fluid on a living Jesus? I said, you still don't get it. I said, why? She said, well, I'm in chapter 12 now. However, in chapter 19, in seven more chapters, he's going to reach the summit of Golgotha's brow and bring into fruition a soteriological dispensation. He's going to go to the cross and die for my sins in seven chapters. But what I'm going to do, I'm not going to wait until he dies to embalming. What I'm doing now is an anticipatory expression of my appreciation of what he's going to do for me in chapter 19. I'm expecting something to happen in my life in seven chapters. Now, anybody around this house, you're in chapter 12, but you can speak over your life. I got a chapter 19. Oh, y'all ain't saying it. Y'all ain't saying it. Somebody shout, chapter 19 is coming.
All right.
Somebody shout, I'm looking for jobs. Better, come on, say jobs. Better jobs. Raises. Bonuses. Graduations. Estates. Inheritances. Sickness and poverty must cease. Loved ones will be saved. Peace in my body. Healing in my home. But I ain't gonna wait until I see it to praise it. So Mary said, I got to give him glory right now in chapter 12 because of what he's getting ready to do. Oh, my beloved, I didn't mean to hold you this long, but I'm telling y'all, after the hell you've gone through in your chapter 11, you better believe chapter 19 is around the corner. And I came with a prophetic word out of my own pain. I went through chapter 11 in January. But I thank God I had enough power and the Holy Ghost wouldn't let me die in chapter 11. And now, right now, April the 12th, 2016, I'm not going to keep regurgitating what I lost. I'm going to keep anticipating what's coming for me in chapter 19. Shake a neighbor's hand and say, neighbor, I don't know about you, but I'm looking for a miracle. I can see the invisible. The sky is the limit to what I can have. And is there anybody here tonight who want to give God some glory for stuff you're about to receive? Come on, shake a neighbor's hand and say, I got chapter 19 that's around the corner. I'm shouting right now because chapter 19 is coming my way. And I don't know about y'all, but I've had some good days. I've had some bad days, and I've had some hills to climb. But when I look around and think things over, all of my good days still outweigh my bad days, and I won't complain. Wave your hand and shout, chapter 19 is coming my way. You ought to give God your best praise. That's why I sow, cause chapter 19 is coming. That's why I grow, cause chapter 19 is coming. That's why I glow, because chapter 19 is around the corner. Do me a favor, think about one thing that you want God to do for you by the end of April. Think about one thing you want God to do for you in the next 19 days. Look at your neighbor and say, neighbor, would you pray with me for my chapter 19? Now tell them what you want God to do. Save your brother. Heal your body. Pass the test. Do your best. Come on, you got to put that thing in the atmosphere. Allow it to be established in the mouths of two or three witnesses. Say, neighbor, I'm looking for a miracle. I can see the invisible. And now do me a favor. Look back at him and say, neighbor, when the preacher counts to three, I'm going to give God a shout for you, chapter 19. I'm shouting for your blessing. And I want you to shout for mine. Are y'all ready? Someone holler, chapter 19. Y'all ain't shouting. Holler, chapter 19. Come on, put that thing in the atmosphere. Chapter 19. The biggest blessing of your whole life. After your biggest struggle. Chapter 19. The building program. The new budget being met. Chapter 19. Look at your neighbor. Say, neighbor, I'm going to tear this church up in advance for your chapter 19. Are y'all ready? One. No, y'all ain't ready. Some of y'all too dignified too. I said, are you ready? Do you believe chapter 19 is around the corner? One, two, three.
This is the kind of radio you need. Yes, Jesus is a morning radio. Bold radio for real people.
Hallelujah, hallelujah, dealing with divine delays. Hallelujah, what a message this morning. Pastor E. Dewey Smith. I enjoyed that message today. Because what do we do? What do we do? Are we giving God the glory and the honor and the praise when we're going through, or just when we happy? You know, he done blessed us. Or we done got unexpected money, you know, check done come in the mail early, all kind of stuff done going on to make us happy. We love him. Or we want to praise him. But what do we do when things are not where we think that they should be? What kind of praise do we give him? Because I tell myself this, so what? So what? And I go on and give God praise. I go on and obey him. I go on and help somebody, some way, somehow. Yeah, if it's nothing more than an encouraging word. Because we need to work unto him. And we're not working for stuff and things. Because he give to us, many of us, without us even doing anything, unto him. Look at the world. They don't work unto him daily. He yet shine on them like he do the just. But we want to be the people that give to God. We want to be the people that obey him. We want to be the people that work for him. Daily the harvest is plenteous, but the labors are few. And we pray that the Lord of the harvest would send more labors. But how about the labor that he called or chose us for? What do we do? Hallelujah, Jesus. It's all right today in Jesus' name. Listen, I'm going to one request of the morning, and when we come back, we'll come back with the studio open. So if there's someone who has something they would like to say, please feel free to press that number one and come in this morning and share with us. Yeah, it's all right today in Jesus' name. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Thank you.
It was meant to kill me, sin to destroy me, and I thought that it would, and I thought that it should, cause I messed up so many times, I went left when you said right, I'll understand if you wanna let me go, let me go, let me go, but you held on to me, and you wouldn't let me go, and you wouldn't let me go, go. But you held on to me, and you wouldn't let me go, and you wouldn't let me go, go. And what the enemy meant for evil, God has worked it out for my good. What the enemy meant for evil, God has worked it out for my good. It was meant to kill me, meant to destroy me, yep. And I thought that it was, yeah. And I thought that it should, cause I messed up so many times, I went left when you said right, I'll understand if you wanna let me go, go, go.
like this, y'all. Listen, I need you to know that whatever you're going through, God has the ability to use it for his glory. He doesn't waste anything. If you went through it, he can use it. Let's go. Say, it's working. But it's working for me. It's working. Tell somebody it's working. Encourage somebody. I know it seems hard, but just hang in there. I promise you it's working. Everything that you face, every heartbreak and trial. Hey, it was meant to kill me, but it's working for me. It's working. I know it don't feel like it. It only made me better.
Hallelujah, Jesus. Hallelujah. Ah, yeah. What the enemy meant for evil, God turned it around for our good. Yeah, many things come our way. Yeah. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. All right, Jerry, coming at you right now. Good morning. God bless you. How are you? Unmute, Jerry. Can you unmute?
You're right, Barbara. You're right. You know, it's been a long night.
Hallelujah.
I'm doing well. I hope you're doing well as well. I'm sitting here listening, you know, delay is not denied. Now I understand why God said that to me last night. Delayed is not denied.
Amen. Amen.
We all got to do some things in ourselves first so God can give us our heart desire.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe our heart desires are still on the past, but old things pass away.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe our heart desires are on something that's worse than what we already have. So in his word, he say, be still and know that I am God. He didn't say, run on, Jerry, just run on till you can't run no more. He said, mm-hmm. be still. I know sometimes life brings you some humility. And sometimes it brings you some shame. Sometimes life make you think everybody see me. They know all about me now. The whole world is talking about me. It doesn't matter. Because the whole world has some shame in their closet.
Mm-hmm.
There's no one pure but Jesus. As I kept dwelling on what the young lady said last night, and everybody knows my daughter was brought to shame, omnipotent shame. It's not about that. Mm-hmm. Maybe God is trying to teach you or me and everybody else something. Forgive yourself, then forgive them so I can bless you.
Mm-hmm.
Mary, she gets an attitude because Jesus let Lazarus die. He didn't have to die. Okay. Maybe, Mary, you don't forget who Jesus was and you've been with him all your life. How you forget the wonders that Jesus can do? You heard about how he turned the water into wine. You even told the men, do what he say do. You heard about how he gave the blind man sight. You heard about those things. You heard that he can heal. You heard that he can raise the dead. Oh, but see, you listening to the world. Oh, but that's because he wasn't really dead. Come on now. Sometimes don't let the world get in our ears, no matter how bad it feels. A burn is a burn on your hand. I'm trying to learn to cook again, and I burnt myself. I said, oh, my gosh, that hurt. Jesus said, that's how it feels when you deny me. I said, Lord, I don't be denying you. He said, not intentionally. But when I tell you to do something, Jerry, all your life you got to go left. And I pull and try to drag you to the right, but you still got to go left. So I don't want to go left no more. Because what was meant to kill me, God is turning it around for our good. All of us in the radio land, we need to just be still and go back and read on all the things that Jesus has done and know he's that same God that he was yesterday, tomorrow. He's that same God. He can do what no other power, Holy Ghost power, can do. He's that same God. He's not going to give Barbara the house on the hill and Mercedes in the yard and the Bentley in the street, and she got so many cars she don't know which one to drive. He can do for you the same thing he do for Steph Curry, LeBron James, KD. Just because they play basketball don't make that they can be more wealthy than you, because God said the earth and the fullness of it belongs to me. Why don't you just run on from all the other chapters and see that even Judas threw all the coin up there in the church. Some people went to church, was praying for a miracle. Out of nowhere, here comes money being thrown up in the church. Hallelujah. Because you was in the right place at the right time. Just because you see a sign that says, what did JEA say on it? I haven't had a bill like this in so long. It says disconnection in 3 days. I don't know why they do it in red. Don't you know that's Jesus saying what man is saying, I can turn it around? Well, Jerry, that's easy for you to say because your life is good. No, it's not easy to say because my life is good. You don't know my story. You don't know all the pain I've been through and all the pain I'm going through. But because I believe Jesus is here for me, I just take that bill and say, I put this in your hand, Lord God. Tell me when to call them. So we and I stand by you, and you help this lady turn this bill for my good. And he's done it, not once, not twice, he's done it. And the key thing is, Father, I stretch my hands to thee, for there is no other help I know. Please don't withdraw your hands from me, because wellest will I go. Father, be that protection. Be that healer. Be that mind controller of me. Keep me in my right mind, because if I allow the male, it will scare me into who knows what. Keep my mind stayed on thee so I'll know you that same God that can heal a health condition. You're that same God that make a person that can't walk pick up their bed and walk. You're that same God that put a little water and clay on my eyes, and man, I can see, but he still give me another instruction. Go wash your eyes in a pool of Siloam. You that same God that told Joshua to walk around. He didn't say run around. Well, I went around it 7 times. Did you follow all the instructions? We got to pay attention to the full instructions. Don't worry about the shame you're going through. because Jesus himself went through shame. They even sent someone to help him carry the cross. They put this thing in his head and mashed it down. They wanted to make sure they saw blood come out of him. But where they made his mistake, they didn't break his feet. Satan has no authority over our lives. The only authority he has is what we give him. I can't give him no authority over me because I belong to the Most High God that told me I was his own, that told me ask anything in my name, that told me weeping may endure for a night, but joy cometh in the morning, that told me fret not thyself of evildoers. He told me he would be there for me when the whole world turned their back against me. For that, I must stand up and say, Lord, today is a new day. Have your way and let your will be done. And that's where I'm at today in my life. I want Jesus to have his way and his will be done. I want Jesus to say, I've been there for you when you was a little girl. When the devil tried to take you out as a little one, I blocked his shot. I've been there for you when you was in the middle of sin, mashing on the gas. Bam, you hit the tree. You could have hit the tree. It went all the way through the house. But I just stopped you at the tree because you had sense enough to call on me. I was there when you were going into labor, having your son. I was there when the world seemed like it was sneaking and laughing at you behind your back because I went from driving nice cars because my husband was a truck driver till I had to go get a junk car. I didn't get the cars off the lot, not then, because I had to wait on God's divine time. I had to go to somewhere, a used car lot where you buy here, pay here. But then one day God came and said to me, you served me well with this car. You went by and picked up church members. You said, overlook my car, but one day I'm going to get another one. And you believed that you were going to get it. Even though you went to work and you lost your job, you still said to them, oh, I'm not worried. God takes good care of me. So when the car stopped on you on top of the highest bridge, the Matthews Bridge, you didn't fear. You looked down at the water. You used your phone and called a tow truck. He pulled you over. He said, ma'am, this is as far as I can take you. He took me into the Duval Ford parking lot. I'm like, what am I doing with a car broke down in this place and I have no money? Oh, Lord. And there was this lady standing outside and it was pouring rain. I'm like, oh, God, she can't help me. I don't have no money. I don't have no. She was who I needed. And she told me, I'm going to help you. She just slammed. Where did she find I don't have no money and I don't have no good credit? It didn't matter. God divine favor got me a car off the show lot, off the showroom. I drove it out the showroom. Blah, 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 blah. Balloons going up. I'm saying, Lord, I told this lady I have no job. I told this lady I don't have no money. She said, oh, I'll give you $5,000 for that car. $5,000? That car broke down? It's 13 years old. You're going to give me $5,000? And that will cover your down payment for this car. Oh, okay. Her name is Miss K. Miss K, I owe about $3,000 on that car. Oh, don't worry about it. The $5,000 going down on this car has nothing to do with the naked equity in that car. Also, Miss Jerry, we're going to give you 9 months to pay for this, make your first payment. 9 months? So I almost drove the car for a year with no payment. I drove the car home. I know my ex-husband was shot when he drove up, and so I had a brand new car, 2012. He looked at my keys to make sure that I wasn't driving somebody else's car. Then he went back out the door and looked at the tag and came back in. Then he said to me, Jardine, good evening, Robert. So how did you get that car? You know what? It's a thing called God. What the devil trying to destroy me and make me go crazy, look what God did. I told you, Robert, God takes good care of me. He didn't like that because, see, Robert was this kind of man. There's no one going to take better care of you, Geraldine, than me. So God used him to take very good care of me, like I said. He kept the children in private school. He paid their tuition. He bought their uniform. He put them in the cleaners because Jerry liked the crease in them. So I tell God, thank you for the good, the bad, the ugly past. And, Lord, I thank you for what there is to come. Because can't nobody do you like Jesus. Can nobody do you like the Lord. I'm on my way, headed up to the Lord. I got to stay in his presence. I was on the phone with Barbara last night. I said, oh, girl, I got to get off this phone. It's getting late. I got to get up in the morning. She said, you act like you got a job. I do. I'm working for Jesus. Girl, I got to go. This is what I do. I go to bed with Jesus on my mind. I get up with him on my mind. So my ways is going to walk the straight and narrow path that he has me on because I believe can nobody do me like Jesus. I will drop the phone on anybody at a certain time and say, oh, no, I got to do God now. Mm-mm, no, I got to go. I love you, Barbara. I got to go. Then the grandmama calls. I say, hey, y'all know I got to go. I can't talk no more tonight. We'll talk tomorrow anytime after 11 because after this show, I still go into prayer. I give God from 6:15 in the morning until 11:15 because I want to say, God, I gave you just as much time as I've given the world. Now let me go in here and try to fix my son something to eat. Now let me go in here by 12 o'clock and sit back outside, hope it ain't raining, look at the birds and the squirrels, and they're not worried about nothing, God. Thank you for having me in that mindset. Thank you, Jesus, that you bless me. And I don't ever have to ask you for anything. You see my needs and you meet them. All I got to do is confess, repent, and know that I'm not perfect. So look in that mirror and point to yourself and say, it's me, oh Lord. Even if I didn't do nothing this day but thought something bad, I just sin. Forgive me. Forgive me for anything that's not like you, Lord. I'm still in training. Every day of my life, I'm still in training. I'm trying to get it right, Lord. I promise the world, if we do that, God will take good care of you. You're divorced, but your husband said, I didn't take your name off my bank account. You can still use it. I can still get money? Yeah. I vowed to take care of you for the rest of my life. Oh, you do know I don't like you. Okay, you know, that's the devil. He's really got the... He said, you don't know, but you really love me. Okay, whatever you say. I didn't have to worry about what I was going to eat because God already took care of it. Even Robert came back in the house to me one day and said, Jardine. What, Robert? I don't even know why I'm buying all this grocery. I said, yeah, because you know I don't eat nothing but some sweet. Did you buy any cookies? Nah, I'm not even your wife no more. Yes, Jardine, I got you them lemon cookies and I got you a small lemon cake. Oh, did you remember the ice cream? Yes, Jardine, I got the ice cream. But you say you don't even like this man. Why are you asking him for things? Because God said, I can have what I want. God said, ask anything in my name and it be given unto you. God said to Deputy Parr to him. So in Robert's eyesight, that's still my wife. That's my wife. Oh, I was just a little nasty thing. I was like, oh, he has a little breakdown. He's my ex-husband. That was nice. I repented. But Robert didn't care. He kept on talking like I hadn't said nothing. He would get on up, start washing his hand, and go in the kitchen and cook. Jardine, what would you like to eat today? I don't know. What do you have in mind? Well, I thought I would put some steaks on the grill with bacon. But Robert, you know I don't like steak. Okay, would you like me to put your sausage on the grill and make some homemade coleslaw? Yeah, that'd be good for me, but what about the children? Oh, they love steaks and potatoes and Brussels sprouts. Whatever. Jardine, what would you like to drink? Some Kool-Aid, lemonade, iced tea? I would like a slushie. You know, I know you was going to say that. That's why I didn't tell you. I have the slushie right here, Jerry. Oh, thank you, Mr. Crowd. I was an evil little thing. I would sit down and try to think of what he didn't have for me to ask for it so I could start an argument. This man didn't argue. I would sit down and contemplate on how to make him not have what I want. He would make the coleslaw from scratch because, you know, one time he bought the coleslaw. You know I don't like that kind of stove-out stuff. Okay, Jardine, okay. So that day he brought me the stove-out stuff from Popeye's coleslaw. Well, I said, well, if I have been broke down to this level, I'll just eat this coleslaw. No, Jardine, that's not your coleslaw. Your coleslaw is in the refrigerator. That's my coleslaw. See, what a start of argument. No need. We all need to take a look at ourselves and how are we really treating our spouses. And you want to know why they're leaving you. Maybe it's not them everything. Maybe 50-50% them and 50-50% you. Because nobody does anything to go to jail. They're all innocent. I didn't do that. I'm innocent. In their mind, they are innocent. But in the real world, Jerry, Robert wasn't bad all by himself. You had some faults, too. You committing adultery on the phone, hitting a tree because you're angry at Robert. God have mercy on us. My father has killed my mother, but he's looking at me because I look so much like her. He want to kill me, too. He's not in his right mind. We need to say, Lord, before I open my mouth, make sure it is pure from my heart, the words that come out. Lord, I need to work for you the same way I work for my job. Because I need you, Lord. For I don't know I have wings because I've been crawling around like a coon that turned into a butterfly. And most times, caterpillars' cocoons get smashed. They don't live to make the wings. So one day when they fly past a window or something and they see a wing, they're like, what's that behind me? Beautiful wings. You're beautiful. So if everything that God made is beautiful, let us try to speak beauty out our mouth to others. We don't know what somebody's going through. May have lost a child. May have lost their job. May have lost their husband. Don't know where the next dime is going to come. We need to encourage them to know that God is the way. And when God tells us, go and give some money here and here and here, do it. Don't say, God, this can't be real. No, say, Lord, I follow your will because I want to get to chapter 19. I've seen what you did with all those other chapters. Please don't leave me out of chapter 19 because my ending is my new beginning. And for that, Lord, I tell you thank you.
Amen.
Thank you. And hallelujah, Jesus, thank you this day, Lord God, that I stay committed to you. And I pray for our law enforcement. I pray for our military. I pray for our incarcerated, even the innocent ones that's there. You're probably there because there's something God want to teach you. I believe Joseph didn't do the crime, but he did the time in order to get to where? Pharaoh. So God may put us in places just so we can get done his work. And for that, Lord, tell me and show me which way to go. Because I'm in a place now, Lord, I don't know what I'm doing. I know I'm burning myself up a little bit. But for every burn I receive, I tell God, thank you, because you know why? I took for granted that the man that was cooking every day, three meals a day, he didn't just cook breakfast. He didn't just cook lunch. He made breakfast in the morning, hash browns, sausage, blah, blah, blah. He turned around and make you a nice brunch or lunch. Then he go in there and fix up the dinner. What a good man I had, but you don't miss your water until the well runs dry.
Amen.
So, God, I say, keep my well running and my meal barrel full. Because I belong to you, Lord. And I want us all to just, if we ain't got nothing else to say, say it to yourself. Father, thank you for new mercy. And please, please keep me under your wings. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Jesus. Hallelujah. We thank God that he's faithful. We thank him that he's on our side today in spite of us. Yet look beyond fault and meet needs, and we're grateful unto him this morning. So listen, if there's anyone have something they would like to say, please feel free to press that number one and come in this morning and share with us. Yeah, Brother Louis, your home mailbox, the 14th Avenue mailbox. Yeah, watch that, the 25th. Hallelujah. So listen, we're going to the last request of the morning. And when we come back, if no one have anything else they would like to say, I will pray us out today. And we pray that the Lord bring us back tomorrow morning, 7 a.m. Eastern Standard Time, for another episode of Jesus in the Morning. Hallelujah. What a beautiful song. I think that is just an excellent song. I love the sound of it, you know, the music, the words are just beautiful. And so we just thank God this morning. So if there's no one else, I will pray us out today. And I pray again that we come back tomorrow morning, 7 a.m. Eastern Standard Time for another episode of Jesus in the Morning. Let's pray. Father God, we thank you, Lord, for all that has been said and done. We thank you, Lord, that not our will, but your will must be done. And Lord, your will is the best will, and it calls things to work out for our good. No matter what we may be going through, we're looking to you. We're looking to the hills from which cometh our help, for all of our help comes from you. You made the heavens and the earth. And Father, as we depart this morning, I ask that you would go to each and every one, Lord, and encourage them today. These are your people. This faithful few, oh God, touch today, encourage today, inspire these your people. Send down your blessings and your miracles upon them, oh God. Lord, send money their way today in the name of Jesus. Money makes us happy. Money makes us glad. Money, Father, big, big money. Hallelujah. And we thank you this day. Bless our going out today and our coming in. Father, meet the need in our lives according to your riches and glory by your Son, Christ Jesus. We thank you this morning. We give you glory. We give you the honor. And we give you the praise. And Father, today help us to keep our mind on you. We know that keeping our mind on you will keep us in perfect peace. Again, we thank you. We give you the glory and the honor and the praise. And we ask it all today in Jesus' name. Amen and hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Thank you. Father, we thank you. We can't thank you enough. Glory, hallelujah. May the Lord watch between me and thee while we are absent, one from another, in the name of Jesus. Go today in love and peace. Share the good news of Jesus and give someone something of quality. God loves a cheerful giver. Have a blessed day. I speak the blessings of Almighty God upon you this day, May the 19th, 2021, in Jesus' name. So again, I'm saying bye-bye and have a blessed day. I wanted to play a little bit of this one. Okay, here we go.
The blessing.